Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
So Nancy, yeah, the experience of these conversations was really great in that it actually got me thinking about our business a little bit differently, you know, just being able to share some of these very specific case studies and really, you know, think through and being asked about, you know, some of the specificity of it and what made them unique, you know, being in that more mid-market range actually really changed how we've thought about some of the things that we're going to be doing in the near future here. So yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to not just share that, but also appreciate the perspective that it brought for us internally about how we think about our business.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Larissa Uretti, our guest mentor, is a multi-venture entrepreneur and CEO of Nowhere Consultants. Larissa moved into a co-ownership and CEO role in 2018. The founder, Aaron Crabb, is the chief technology officer and founded the company in 2012. They are in a long-term relationship and having fun building a digital strategy agency that leverages technology to solve business problems. And in our first conversation, you heard Larissa talk about a cement company that they helped get an online training online. It was an in-person training and the phenomenal results that they're having. Over 1,000 people are being trained in under a year. And then also a flower company that is really making some ways in which or creating some ways in which people can order flowers easily. And hi, Larissa, tell us more about the flowery company and what you're doing with them.
So she is really setting out to become the thought leader and the marketplace for sustainable florists and flower businesses to be able to deliver their product.
Can you name who the she is?
Yes. Yeah, so her name is Lori Diamond. Okay. And she is based out of California right now. And the company is called The Flowery. And the goal is to really, so right now, something like 80% of the flowers that you purchase come from China. And they're not seasonally. No one is being terribly seasonally mindful. So there's a ton of greenhouses being set up to be able to grow roses in the dead of winter or whatever that is. And so her emphasis is to say, look, I think that we can do better, both from a sustainability perspective. There's a ton of businesses in every state that are really focused on farm to table flowers, you know, whether that is actual farmers or florists who are working with farmers. And she wants to be able to give them a voice through a massive platform. And we are helping her do that.
Beautiful. So at the end of our first conversation, you were talking about how you and Aaron Crabb, the founder, developed your relationship. And in 2015 was how you were really doing a lot of exploration in that area with your business to take it from a freelance to really exploring more ways in which you could help entrepreneurs with in the digital marketing space.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. It was a transformative couple of years. It really was. You go from that freelancer mindset to saying, okay, I want to build a business. And yet that doesn't actually make you an owner. Just deciding that you want to run a company and you know, and deciding you're going to hire some folks isn't really the same thing as stepping into that leadership role.
A lot of people have been really exploring the small business, the digital marketing arena, and spending a lot of money, but not getting the results.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how can we get better results?
Something we tell our clients, and I actually have an upcoming class I'm going to be teaching to a bunch of land surveyors and blue collar folks here in a week in person, but we will record it, is that advertising often feels very actionable, right? Because it's what we think of when we think of marketing. And that's not really it, right? There are these three buckets that are your marketing, your branding, and your advertising. And being able to really understand what each one of those is and how they have dependencies on each other, I think is something that a lot of people miss. And also, honestly, and this is something that that with Nowhere we are really setting out to do, is to dispel the myth that you can just pay the work away. Like, yeah, you can't, right? You can't just have an idea and then hire an agency and be like, great, just go get me leads and business. Cool. That's it. Just how much does that cost me? It doesn't work that way. You still have to go out and build those very much so in-person relationships. You still have to go out and spend the time and invest in your online communities where you want to be taken seriously. Like, you can't skip that part. And so we really do sit down with our clients and say, okay, especially if they're a mid-market, you know, company that already has those relationships,
but maybe
is neglecting them online. We sit down with them and say, all right, let's take a look at who your audience is. Let's take a look at the quality of the customers that you've, you know, had over the years. Let's figure out what those recurring themes are that you're hearing from them, both from, oh, I love it when you do this, or I wish there was more X, Y, and Z. And then let's start to figure out what, you know, online tools we can go lever, what levers can we pull to really start addressing those, that existing customer base. And that's not terribly different than going and saying, okay, let's go find you an audience.
Yeah.
Which just the timeline changes and sort of those priorities, the first sort of steps will shift around accordingly.
Yeah. And I've found in working with clients on email marketing systems and just doing it myself as well. So there's different levels of interest that business owners bring. And I'm finding to help bridge, if you've spent so much time in the business of handshake relationships and you've really got that solid, what are some tips that people can do, small business owners, as they build an email audience?
Yeah, so I think...
Or take those relationships to the online.
Yeah, absolutely. I think something to really keep in mind is that the principle is the same. So when you go to sit down with someone, whether that is in a consultancy role or whether you're hosting a luncheon, especially in the blue collar space, right? Especially in those mid-market businesses where nonprofits do this a lot. Here's our big donor fundraiser. And what they're going to do is they're going to spend time talking about what initiatives they have coming down the pipeline, so where they're going, what the continued support is going to look like. They're going to be talking about the pain points that they're solving and all the ways in which their customers or donors or people have helped them get there. And that doesn't change. So putting together a really simple customer appreciation email that you send out quarterly, I think is a really simple and top of mind yet high value way that you could start to ease both you as the company and the brand and your customers into that more sort of digital, being able to round out your communication strategy with some of those digital tools.
Yeah. And I think a wonderful thing as we approach the end of the year, I love getting emails from, obviously I'm in the entrepreneurial space. And so from business owners who let me know how their year has been.
Absolutely.
You know, you're in review. And I think clients would love to hear some of the learnings that you've had this year and
Absolutely.
How you're carving out kind of new space. And it's a perfect opportunity to also say, if you've been long-term clients of ours or relationships, and like you're talking about some appreciation there. And I've also seen business owners add a corner to highlight certain clients that they've worked with that have been really special to them. And it gives them a little extra marketing push. There's lots of different ways you can complement and use what you've done in handshake relationships over the year to augment, use your email and your digital marketing strategies. You can start developing them. You can start small.
Absolutely. Yeah. And something that we've seen be really successful in our own company, and I borrowed like an artist from another online venture. But something we did last year around Christmas was we still send out client gifts and all that kind of stuff, but we augmented our email program we had some big news to announce with the B Corp and all that kind of stuff. And so I wrote a blog post and I basically sent an email that said, okay, your task is to go read this blog and then reply to me. And if you do that and you pay attention, buried in that blog is a link to a gift for coffee, right? And so it was like, if you read this blog that we produced, then I'll buy you a coffee. You have to actually go read it and find it and figure out where that lives.
Right.
And it worked out great. I mean, we got, not only did our brand get a really fun push online because people were taking pictures. We didn't even ask them. People totally snapped a selfie with their coffee. And then they were like, hey, thanks. But then we got some really great responses. I was getting text messages and I was like, oh my God, it worked. But it was just one of them. It took nothing. It was a really simple thing. we put a perfectly reasonable amount on a gift card online and embedded the link in a blog post that we really wanted to get some eyes on because we were proud of our accomplishments. And it was a really great way for us to share a win with our customers and also bring the emphasis back to them, though, to say, hey, by the way, without you guys, we wouldn't have been able to do this. So thanks. That was really a simple thing, right? That is not hard. Any business across any industry could do that.
Yeah. And so figuring out to trying out some ideas that don't break the bank, mm-hmm. that you can explore in a way you can just check it out and see what will work with your market. So in our first conversation, also, you were talking about how you define digital marketing, and you say it's synonymous with marketing these days, that it's the art and science of sharing who you are, what problems you solve, and why your customers should work with you using the omni-channel approach. So more than one method. And on some platforms, it's going to work better than others. And some of the components that you talked about is the three areas to take into account when you're putting together your digital marketing strategy. Is the first one is how users find and learn about you and your solutions. Keep that in mind. Second, what experience and first impression are you trying to make online, and gather some feedback around that so that you can shape your audience. I just keep tweaking mine, and with clients, I just see them changing and evolving as their clients are evolving with the different platforms that people are moving to. And with Facebook getting so much pushback, the younger generations, Gen Zs, they're not into Facebook. They're only into it if they're forced into it. And so figuring out how can I get the younger generations into what we're doing now? And if you're in the younger generation, millennial, Gen Z populations, also make sure that you're setting up your website and not relying on social media as your platform for your business. Totally. Your website should be the home in which all is, because it's what you can control. You can't control when these algorithms are changed, and they're going to be changing a lot, especially as our government is trying to regulate more social media. And I think we need some regulations in place, but as a result, the social media companies are changing their algorithms. And so we're going to see more of that coming up. And so as an entrepreneur, you want to find the place in which you can control. What can you control? Because there's so much you can't. And so what you can control is developing your website and how you build out your email system and your social platforms. So they should be coming to your website. You should all traffic directed to your website. You can have it come from your website to social media. There's lots of ways to deliver the same message to a variety of platforms. But I just keep reinforcing that you need a website to control your market space.
Yeah, you look at what's happening with privacy right now around even email marketing, and the way that the iOS 15 update has changed the sort of reliability of the data that we can get out of those things. And that doesn't discredit the value of that email plan, but wouldn't it be nice if you had some way to meaningfully track that user journey back to your website, like you said, or some kind of online presence that you own? Because Facebook went down the other day for 6 hours worldwide. There were businesses that lost hundreds of thousands of dollars because so much of their business is tied to that system being reliable. And it's just something where, yes, I absolutely use social media to build and cultivate an audience. But even some of the online coaching groups that I've been in, all of a sudden, there was nowhere else for us to go as far as some of that communication goes, right? And they have actually done a good job of making sure that something lives outside of Facebook. The value of that group, several of those groups, is not only tied to Facebook's ability to stay up and running. But yeah, it was just, there was definitely two camps of businesses. Businesses who went, oh, weird, I didn't even notice because, you know, I've done the work to build a community that knows to come to my website for the latest and greatest, or I've built an online membership that runs off of my website where my customers can go to have that sense of connection with each other no matter where they live, or I've got my newsletter ready to go out the door and so I'm not going to feel it. And then there were other businesses who were like, oh my God, this is my entire livelihood. And now it's just on hold, and it's at the whim of Facebook's tech team to get everything up and running. And yeah, which camp would you rather be in? That's what I always ask folks is, his.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that.
Which, yeah. And we talk a lot about you diversify an investment portfolio. That's like the biggest thing that they preach. And that same is true for your marketing, because, and I say this to businesses who maybe are only online right now and don't have that in-person relationship built up, but we remind them that it's important to get out and get visible in your community as you, right?
Yeah.
As the owner of your company, take those opportunities, because if an online infrastructure catastrophe hits, it's going to be just as important to have an in-person presence as it is going to be to have an online presence. And so we just really do try and look holistically at marketing and how those two complement each other and really drive home the point that, you know, like I said, digital marketing is marketing. Marketing is a holistic way of looking at your business. So
exactly. Let's talk a little bit more about your growth with Erin and really get a sense of understanding of Nowhere Consultants and where you're at with the business and how you're growing. And then within that context, you've got some really cool digital makeovers that you've done with three companies that you wanted to talk about today, or we decided we wanted to talk about today.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. Erin started off as a development shop for hire, like you had mentioned in our last conversation of freelancing. And you've turned into a team of dedicated and passionate designers, developers, and thinkers. So on your website, you say, quote, "You've grown quiet and carefully. It hasn't been easy, but nothing worth doing ever is," end quote. So what was the landscape like in 2012 that created the space for Erin to launch Nowhere Consultants?
Yeah, talking to him about that sparked a good, you know, conversation. But really, Nowhere wasn't founded on the traditional economic landscape or the growth of Kansas City. It was very much so about our specific circumstances. So I know we'd both been in and out of the corporate world for a while, and we were in the throes of this freelance shimmy where you're like just bouncing from client to client. And at least when we really sat down to have conversations around this, even as early as 2012, like, we knew we wanted it to be something bigger than just us.
So you were in relationship with Erin how long before he founded?
Since 2009.
2009. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Is when we met. Yeah,
okay,
we met,
so you were with him, during the startup.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And, and at the time I was working for corporate America, and he said, "Hey, I think I want to give this a try and as a side project and blah, blah, blah." And that's just kind of where that began, because we both were like, there's got to be more.
Yeah.
There's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah. Excellent. So in 2015, you retooled, you rethought, and relaunched with what kind of new initiatives as you gathered more data and figured out you've got something here? If we really focus in and narrow the way in which we are our niche, and how we build out with companies, we could really blow this out of the marketplace and do something great.
Yeah, it's funny the way that it all works. So in 2015, you're right. We were looking at this going, okay, like we've got something, right? But ultimately the feedback that we were getting from our clients and really that Erin was hearing more so than me at that point was, okay, we've built this thing, whether that was a web, it wasn't really so much just a website. He was really more focused on the more technical side of software development. So we've built this product internally. How do we get people to use it? Okay, how do we monetize it? Now what? And which is ultimately what they're asking is marketing, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I came in and said, yeah, like we've got, it's great that y'all built this thing, Company X, but what's your plan? And they were like, we don't know. We just saw a need for this. And now we're surprised that no one is using it because you haven't told anyone. You haven't made it personal. And so that's the feedback that we were getting and the same pain points that we kept running into, being like, oh man, we've delivered X, Y, and Z, but there's always this other question. And so we decided to come up with a solution that could start to address that question that they had. And that's really where my skill set, you know, lies. And what I was doing at the time was, you know, working in that marketing ecosystem. And so I said, okay, like, yeah, I can come in and help. And yeah, marketing became the hook for us. And it continues to be that. Because now it's funny, you look back and now 6 years later, like we're actually building much more technical solutions that fit into a marketing plan. for our clients, right? Like, we're not just doing, you know, social media management. We're not just launching a single email program. Like, we're actually building out custom training portals and apps that sales teams can use in the field when they're out there selling concrete, right? Or whatever. And it's like, but those all fit into a larger marketing strategy that we've either helped build or have all sat down and had really good conversations around how the solutions that we're providing fit in. So it's funny to watch us come full circle in that sense. I think it just took time. I think everyone had to mature to the point where we could have those conversations, right, with people.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2015 was really a year where we said, okay, like, we clearly can offer more. The pain point that these people are having is really closer to the marketing space. We just started thinking a lot more holistically and long term. And we also realized, at least I did, that I need to figure out how to learn some leadership and really step into some of those roles. And I think that's an ongoing journey for sure. But
yeah. And how do you separate out in your relationship business from your private relationship?
Yeah, totally. There's a great book called The Accidental Creative that I referenced in I think in our conversations previously off air. And it really has been a game changer. They talk about having the big three board, and that can be big initiatives, problems, goals, just things that are rattling around in your head, right? The way they frame it in the book is that those are big three problems that you need to solve creatively, that you can't just sit down and be like, okay, this top of mind solution will work. And so we actually set up a big three board in our office, and it's a great place for us to put those each, you know, individually. We do it for the business and we do it personally. And it really makes a difference, because when you live and work with someone, and for, especially for as long as we have, like, work and personal are going to get intermingled. And sometimes one of us, especially if we can't just let it go, client issue or a day has been had, it helps to have that visual representation of, here's the things that, you know, that the company is supposed to be doing. And then here's the things that are living in Larissa's head or Aaron's head on a personal level, that, like, maybe I should back into some of the questions I'm going to ask tonight around what's for dinner. Maybe we look at this landscape and go, let's just take the easy way. Let's just not. Maybe I don't need to have the conversation around whatever it is, right? That more mundane thing that you know, that maybe just doesn't need to be added to the mental noise.
And sometimes, like, when couples have kids and partners have kids, that forces them into more of a separation. But when it's you too, that can easily consume every single meal and breath.
Absolutely. And we were just talking about this yesterday, just even having some keywords, you know, some phrases that we use around the house to say, hey, I'm a verbal thinker, right? Like, I think out loud, I solve problems verbally, and Aaron is much more internally wired. And so when I need him to be a sounding board, we were just talking about this, where it's, hey, I need a whiteboard session. Can you stop what you're doing essentially and come, I need to talk through this, but let's go have a whiteboard session. And like, that can be a really great way to like queue up, okay, what the expectation is. All right, we're gonna draw some stuff out. We're gonna visualize it. We're gonna think through it. And then now it's done. And then we can go back and now we can go do what we want to do, you know, together.
Yeah. So when would be a scenario where Aaron might call the whiteboard session?
Oh my gosh. He's the 70,000 foot guy. He really is the like big picture person. And so I'm looking at our whiteboard now. And the things that are on there are captured at that much higher level. Whereas I tend to be more tactical and more of that roadmap builder of like, how are we going to get to the vision? And his whiteboard sessions look differently than mine, right? Because like I said, he's much more internally, you know, motivated. So it really might be for him saying to me, hey, I need a couple of hours to like sit down and think through this problem, right? And it's okay, cool, I'll leave. You know, like, I'll get out of here.
I see. So instead, right? Like, you invite him in through the process. For him to work through the process, he needs you to move out of the space, or he needs the space to think himself.
Right. And then when he's gotten to a point where he feels like he's ready to present or talk about it, right, then that's when I get to come back in. But for him, he does tend to, like I said, I process things very verbally.
Yeah, that's the extrovert and the introvert styles. How we process information and how we come up with the solutions. Like, sometimes with introverts, because they go into the cave and don't include the other person through the process, that extrovert might not know, like, how did they get to the decision?
And absolutely. And I know that he and I have just had to learn that we approach problems differently, and that it's really valuable that we approach problems differently, because, you know, like I said, Aaron has this ability to cut through the forest and the trees to just see the core of the problem. Mm-hmm. Like he really can strip away all the noise and the distractions and just say, hey, yeah, all the stuff that you're freaking out about is great. This is really the thing, though. You solve this nugget and it, man, okay, that precision and that clarity that he brings is absolutely something that like I rely on and that I know our team benefits from, whether that's in a client situation or in a more, what are we doing with this company question. Whereas there have been instances where we say, okay, here's the initiative and here's the strategy. And then that's when I get to turn my wheels loose and just start brain dumping all these ideas. And from that come some solutions that we may not have thought of. And so it's a good thing. You just have to be really, if you're going to run a business with someone that you live with and care about, then you need to be really cognizant of what each of you needs.
Yeah.
And also,
this is why they say that entrepreneurship is the best way to get to know yourself.
Totally.
Because it's not, you can't just focus on your style. It's like you have to figure out all the players in it and how they're approaching the innovative constraints that come up. And you're getting to know each other. Oh, this is about style. Mm-hmm. This is about how we're different in how we process new information. Mm-hmm. And how you get to that, everybody kind of clashes. But it's not the clash that becomes problematic. It's
right.
What you do after that's really critical to the relationship of either healing or hurting. And if,
absolutely. Confrontation is necessary.
Absolutely. That's where all good ideas come from.
Absolutely. And confrontation, and this is actually something that Aaron said not too long ago, but confrontation is not inherently confrontational.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to come at someone to challenge them or to be challenged by, you know, someone. And I think that it can be hard. Like I said, if you're in a relationship with someone and you care about them, it can be hard not to get defensive if you're talking about differences in leadership styles or differences in outcome or the success or failure of a certain endeavor. But at the same time, like, yeah, you just have to keep that in mind. And I think having a foundation of respect is obviously the easiest place to start. You
know? Yeah, and trusting that the other person has your back. And
exactly. And that they're doing this for your benefit as much as theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some key things that need to be in place for you to really build a really solid company as you also build a really resilient relationship with each other.
Absolutely. And I mean, and I'll bring this all back to marketing because really, if you think about it, trust and integrity and being heard are all tenets of a good brand as well. And a good marketing strategy will make people feel like they can, like they have somewhere to go if something goes wrong, right? Or that they have someone to celebrate with when something goes wrong. And that lines of communication are open at all times, that there is that trust that your clients and company feel supported. Really, at the end of the day, like it's just like good being a good person will largely lead you to be a good brand. And yes, you need some executive training and leadership maybe along the way. And doesn't mean that everyone is an inherent business owner, but like that foundation is never the wrong place to start from.
Yeah. And in business ownership, we're always in situations that build our character, that we're challenged to grow in ways that had we ventured on this path, we wouldn't really be instilled to grow and pushed to grow. And now you've got Aaron and yourself, your process worked out in how you create boundaries and also support each other's creative processes and how you develop stuff together. You now have a team of employees. How many do you have and how are they worked into the process?
Yeah, we've got four or five contractors that have been with us for years. That's been really great. And they've been integral to us growing as well. And then we have the two of us, which are obviously our two full-time members, and then we have a part-time employee. She actually just transitioned to part-time, but we're going to be bringing in another part-time role. So we're actually expanding the team. And we did that largely because we hired our first employee at the beginning of the pandemic, which was actually a really great decision. We didn't know it at the time. We just were going on gut instinct and didn't want to go back on our word and all of that. But we're really realizing that there's an opportunity to really split out like the account management side of things versus the project management side of things, which is a gray area that a lot of agencies struggle with. And so we're trying to solve that problem by saying, okay, these really are two different roles and there's lots of opportunity in each of them for ownership and and agency from the person to feel like they can really own that piece of the business. And so that's something that we're really working on as we head into, yeah, just the next however long that takes. I think that, I don't know if that process ever really ends, but that's definitely one of the initiatives that we have right now is really figuring out, okay, you know, how are these roles different? You know,
yeah,
how can
also 10 years into the business, how are things shaking out here? Yeah.
1,000%, right? Yeah, absolutely. At 10 years in, okay, like we have more processes and things in place. And the last 2 years have really accelerated that, I think, even just through hiring, right? And being ready to hire. It took us this long to get here, for sure.
Yeah. I recently read a book by one of my favorite podcasters, John Lee Dumas. It's, let's see, The Path of Common Success for Uncommon Results.
Oh, cool.
And in it, he talked about many of us, like when we are trying to hire new people, like especially administrative help. And if you do it virtual assistants, how do you transition the learning if they're not in your space? And he creates these 2 to 3 minute like videos of your tasks. Mm-hmm. And so he finds that when he's training someone new in, that he has a sequence of videos that he has put together to make it easier for, and the person learning it, a lot of times, especially if it's a complicated technology part of the business, you need to hear it and do it more than once.
Absolutely.
And the videos, those little snippets of instruction really help to do the training. And I just thought that was the most fantastic idea that I'm going to be doing that can really help with the thought of, well, I've got so many things I do and it's going to take hours. No, you break everything down into pieces.
You break everything down and Yeah, that's cool.
I
will look that up.
Okay. So it's a fantastic book. And he is a podcaster that from the beginning has in the corner of his website how much revenue they generate every month. And then he has a session with his CPA and they break down the numbers at the end of each month or at the beginning of the month, focusing on the prior month activity. And it really helps him be accountable, but it also is a great learning tool for all business owners. Focuses on podcasters, but it's really, I really think he's got a great way in which he's teaching a lot of business owners to be successful. And his book is phenomenal for anyone because he lays out his journey that we can all relate to as entrepreneurs and some of the struggles, but he's also how he's come up with solutions is very, it's just excellent. And if you're struggling in business, it's likely that one of the 17 things he talks about is, you know, going to be a problem for you too. So it's easier to diagnose your own problem after reading it. So what are your 3 favorite digital marketing makeovers?
So I'm going to bring a couple of different clients in. So I'll start off with our concrete company, which is a company called Men, that they're the client that's just breaking all the molds for their market by having this transition from an in-person training program to an online training program that is going to continue to get built out. Now we're all back to in-person, you know, events largely, but they're continuing to add value to that by being able to do on-demand training videos and live events, live Zoom events that are being hosted so that they can really service their wide network. They have sales reps, like something like 175 sales reps, right, across the region and including South America, to be able to serve those people more than once or twice a year through, as opposed to everyone waiting and showing up for this, you know, huge in-person thing. Being able to serve them throughout the year with training and events and outreach was really going to is really going to change how they do business. And it's exciting to be a part of that.
Now, are you working with them on any of the, there's huge supply chain issues that business,
They actually produce their own stuff. So they have their own, what's the word I'm looking for? R&D here in on the Kansas side. So they are not struggling as much with that. And I will say supply chain logistics is something that we talk about a lot with our clients, but that is not something that we immediately address ourselves. That is a huge beast.
Yeah, it is a huge beast and something we've never experienced before. And it's for the next couple of years yet. Yeah.
Yep. So that's one for sure. And then another company that I'd like to bring focus to is actually a current client of ours, that they are a great success story. They are a really good example of what can happen and how quickly can all happen when you get a plan in place. They're a company called IA Quality that's here. Again, they've got global reach. They do air purifiers that they manufacture and build and have designed. And obviously very nascent right now with the pandemic and all this kind of stuff, but even just beyond that. And so we've really helped them. 6 months ago, they didn't have a company name. And so we really got in at the ground floor with them and said, okay, you guys have this product. They had a product and they found a market, which I think is super important. And I can't stress that enough. They found their first couple of clients and then they said, holy crap, like now we're drinking from a fire hose. Like, how do we capitalize on this? And it's okay, cool. Let's get the business in place. Let's get the website up. Let's make a plan for outreach and media. Let's go create that buzz. Let's figure out a social strategy. Let's figure out a paid acquisition strategy. So online advertising, all that kind of stuff. And so we've really gotten to work one-on-one with them when we're in the process of, you know, launching all their products on Amazon and getting all their stuff up on Google AdWords. And they have a great site that's super resource driven that has some really great educational pieces for people to get engaged with them. We put in a fairly chatbots themselves are not new, but using them well, I think, is still an art form. And we've really been building out that online experience for them as they continue to grow so that they can start to scale even more than they have. So that's a great example of a new business, but that is in a high demand market that really needed to formalize around that. And we've really taken them from that first sales opportunity that they had to now where we're really starting to expand that reach across all of the channels.
So how many, so you say first sale to now they're expanding the channel. How much is that leading in revenue or sales?
I can tell you that the price per unit right now, so they're building and developing everything from $850 units up to $3,800 units. And so when they started, they said they had about a year's worth of revenue in one order and they had to scramble to get that done, which is pretty powerhouse. I mean, it was something like 200 units at their most expensive. And now our emphasis is on really expanding that $3,800, that's called the T2700.
Oh, I see. That's what you meant by expanding the first sale.
We're really leaning into that market. And they've got sales guys. They did a great job of spinning up a sales team who's been doing a lot of work. They have some really good community engagement. So they're working with the fire departments here and all that kind of stuff to make sure that these units can get into people's homes, especially after a disaster, and just a ton of really, you know, cool stuff that they've been building out. But we're iterating really quickly.
Yeah. And is that just for business that they're selling this? Or I noticed
they've got an in-home unit that is coming out. It's not currently fully built, but their smaller unit does work and it's lightweight. It's easy to use, but they do actually have an even more specific yet that they are launching here shortly. So we're excited to help them with that as well.
Oh, so cool. And your third favorite digital marketing makeover.
Yes. So this is a great client and good friend of ours at this point. It's a company called Vote Sharp. And so she is a good example of someone who she's had this business for a decade. She has a lot of deep experience in being a thought leader in her space. And we've really spent the last year working with her, formalizing the business message right behind Vote Sharp, which is a political CRM for candidates that makes communication with their constituents easy. So like, typically a candidate, when they run for office, they have these paper walk sheets where they print out a list of all the addresses of all the houses that they're going to go knock on doors. That's not a scalable solution. And so she has created an app and a piece of software that acts as a CRM. So you pull up your app and you walk your neighborhood and you can see, oh yeah, you can drop a note, you can take pictures, you can do all this kind of cool stuff, which I think is a really part of why what she does speaks to us so much, is because it really is that perfect balance between online digital tools and marketing strategy blended with in-person relationships, right? If you're a candidate and you're trying to get elected, like you need to go shake hands and kiss babies. We all know that. But to manage those relationships, like having that in a digital format where you can easily pull up and be like, oh yeah, I was here 3 weeks ago and her daughter was getting ready to leave for college or had just graduated. That's a great, you know, thing for me to bring up to help foster that relationship, right? Like now you're not digging through, you know, spreadsheets that you've printed out on a clipboard trying to remember when you last talked to Linda about her.
Yeah.
And we've been working with her. There's a lot of big players in that market, right? Huge players, Nation Builder and ActBlue, and just across the board, regardless of political party, there's some really big names. And so we've really spent the last year really trying to build her brand recognition and get her product in the hands of people that can really benefit from that, right? That maybe don't have access to some of those larger tools. We've done that through email marketing. She has a fantastic list of people that she's collected over her 10 years of being in the industry. We've gotten really granular and really dug into her email list and getting folks to open and tell us what they're looking for. And we're running some paid advertising for her now to get her in the running with some of her competition. We've had to be pretty creative about how we do that just to, because budgets, you can't ever outspend your biggest competitor and no one should ever try. But yeah, it's been really cool, the web development. And as we head into 2022, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how all the momentum that we've built behind her really starts to bear fruit.
Yeah. And I like the examples. They're very unique businesses. Air purifiers, which is also, we're more interested in air now and
absolutely
how to purify it than ever before. I like the way you added these three favorite digital marketing makeovers. It's really showing the direction that our world is going. We're more concerned about our air and the purifiers and how germs are spread. And so having air purifiers in businesses, hotels, schools, all different types of businesses, we want more quality in the air that we're breathing. And also people are buying these purifiers in their homes. And the Vote Sharp, it's addressing to the political arena and the focus that we have there on making sure that candidates can have access to information to make their job a little bit easier as they're building a network of people to support their political aspirations. And then SpecChem with what?
I said, especially new candidates. That's really something that is near and dear to her heart, is really making sure that people who want to run for office feel like they can.
Yeah, and it's not so overwhelming.
It's not this overwhelming, outdated monster.
This is bringing it up to date in the 21st century. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so, and then the work that you're doing with this concrete company and their trainings and everything is really fantastic. So as we close out, what's you and Aaron's vision for coming up here over the next year?
That is a great question. So I know for us, we actually sat down at the beginning of each quarter. We sit down at the beginning of each quarter and we outline initiatives that we want to tackle for that quarter. And it goes back to that big three idea of, okay, here's the big three, here's the little three.
Yeah.
And so for us, we really want Nowhere to be the company that
goes
changes,
somewhere.
Yeah, that goes somewhere, but that also changes marketing, because there is just a lot of snake oil out there. There's a lot of people who aren't willing to sit down and take the time to really think about the business owner who is looking at the company that he's built over the last 40 years and saying, I'm intimidated by, or I'm worried about alienating my customers, or I'm worried about this stuff. There's not a lot of companies out there who are actually willing to sit down and like really work with them, like side by side as a partner. And so for us, we want to be able to do that for as many businesses as possible, because there's just so many opportunities out there to take these companies that have been staples in their community, that have provided jobs for literally generations, and help them to continue to be viable in this, 21st century.
Yeah.
And build their audience up and go find new people. That's a big part of it. And so for us, it really is part of our vision is figuring out how to scale what I joke that we do this for a living, but finding a way to be your own consultant is hard. So that's on the leadership and I think market share side of things. But then also we've got some ideas for some internal tools that we really want to build in the form of some dashboards and some really cool pieces of software that can really help our clients see the value of the dollars that they spend, not just with us, but across the board.
Yeah. And I like the way that realizing just how what I feel has been missing in the marketplace is what you and Aaron are offering. It's really the steps to take our handshake businesses into the 21st century, but also just wherever the new innovations are coming up. They're developing their platform for the digital marketing arena that also has the touch points, which you talked about too, that digital marketing is marketing. And so it's in person, figuring out whether it's in person or, online or however the relationships are developing. It needs both ways in which we're connecting with people. And you're bridging the technology piece as well, because you're both visionaries. space. And so you can see with business owners where what their products and services, the expansive part of it, and you can figure out the roadmap to getting there that doesn't seem to be cumbersome in a way where you blow through a ton of money and then don't have the end result.
Yeah, we really are looking at every client that we bring in that says, okay, I want to work with you. We really are looking at what are the strategies that we can implement now, or the tools that we need to, the levers we need to pull now, so that in 2 years, when they're ready to evolve again, those systems are in place and that foundation is built. I am not interested in, we love getting quick wins, obviously, for clients, builds trust and all that kind of stuff. I'm not interested in the growth hacking approach. There's lots of ebooks and other people out there who can teach you how to build up and then alienate an audience. I'm much more interested in figuring out how do you build that long-term, long-lasting, sustainable business, and how can we help people do that, especially if they're coming from a market where, or an industry or a past life that, where it's been a very manual process based on, like you said, that handshake, one-on-one business, right? We can take that same philosophy and we can help you move that into the online space in a way that feels...
Yeah. So you can go, you can go from nowhere to somewhere by using nowhere. Thank you so much, Larissa. This has been a delight. And thanks for listeners. The reason I wanted to do the digital marketing makeovers, especially with Larissa, is she's got a wonderful way of sharing the examples that can help you see how attainable it is for your business. Keep working away, keep working at it. I'll have some great exercises for you to do following this, and I'll have the contact information for Larissa. Is there anything that you wanted to offer our listeners before we go finish out this conversation?
No, the only thing I would end with is we always welcome conversations. So if you've heard something today and you're like, man, I'd like to know more about that. Or, hey, like, I just want to be able to talk to another business owner, or I've got questions. Feel free to head to our website and check us out. I do also have, at the beginning of the pandemic, I put together a book called The Marketing Mindset, and version 2 is coming out here shortly as soon as I get it finished. So keep an eye out for that. But it's a great place where I've tried to talk about a lot of these case studies and kind of the thought process that goes into thinking about your business like a marketer, right? So that you can start to make some of those decisions internally and also be prepared then when you do decide to bring in, a consultant or an outside team, how to make the most of that investment.
Excellent. All right. I say A, I don't know. Anyways, that was an excellent feedback. Yeah. And a great way to invite the listeners in. Great. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Larissa. I just really appreciate your time and your energy and the gifts that you're bringing to the marketplace. And
thank you so much for the opportunity. It's so exciting.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thanks, listeners, for tuning in and grabbing all the information that you can. And thanks, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Montfrey de Notre Mère, Mike Abea, a brother from another mother. Thank you for your work. See you next week. Build upon your leadership skills and become effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? You can. We know that dual innovation with mentoring works. We've mentored thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and small business owners in this dual innovation process since 1992. We are here to co-create a mentoring process where you can nourish resilient relationships while you redesign your business. Resilient relationships promote relational literacy, the ability to understand and express healthy ways of relating. Even a slight increase in relational literacy can lead to significant improvement in all of your relationships. So why not take the risk to move out of dysfunctional relating and move into ways to deepen your connection to yourself and others? Assert self-leadership. If you aren't already subscribed to this podcast, go do it now. Go to wementor.com and get the support and skills needed to build a purposeful life journey with your peers on the entrepreneurial leadership path, consciously co-creating our future. You can also join our virtual mentoring community for one-on-one strategic mentoring or participate in a WeMentor lab, because we mentor meaningful conversations and activities that lead to higher levels of functionality and engagement in our world and everything that we do with each other. So engage your curiosity and become the leader you envision yourself to be today. wementor.com. Go there. Check it out.